Good evening, everybody. In this week's parasha, we begin to read the story about Yosef and his brothers. And as part of that story, we're told that Reuven attempts to save his brother. Vayishma Reuven vayatzileu miyadam. Reuven tries to save Yosef from the vices, from the plot that all of his brothers were trying to play on him. So the Medrash writes in Rus, a very interesting pasuk, where the pasuk there is talking about Boaz, who goes out of his way to try and provide for Rus and give her food. So it says the Medrash, Amar Yitzchak bar Marian, Baha Kasev Lelamedcha, the pasuk here comes to teach you, Sheim Yiyya Adam Osa Mitzvah, once a person is already going to perform a mitzvah, Yasena B'Lev Shalim, you should do it with a complete heart, with a full heart, as you perform the mitzvah. Why? She'ilu Hayyodea Reuven Sha'akadosh Baruch Hu, Machtiv Allah, Vayishma Reuven Vayetzilei Miyadam, had Reuven known that God was going to say about him, that Reuven was the one who saved his brother, who attempted to save his brother, B'Ksefa Hayyamalicho Alaviv. Reuven would not have just tried to save him. He would have picked him up on his shoulders and carried him back, schwitzed away as he took care of his brother, as he carried him all the way back home to his father. If Aaron HaKohen would have known that God was going to write about him, had Aaron HaKohen known that God was so proud of him, that God was going to give him praise and accolade and approbation for the fact that he went out to greet Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was proud that his brother Moshe Rabbeinu was now the leader of the Jewish people, he would have brought out a marching band to go usher his brother into town. He wouldn't have just gone out on his own. Had he known that he was going to be written about, he would have done a lot more. And so too over here, Medrash says that had Boaz known that the Torah was going to write such beautiful praise about him, such laudation, then obviously he would have gone out of his way and provided Rus with even more than he gave her. So what's interesting is, there's a major shaila that really comes out of this. Is one allowed to really perform a mitzvah for the purpose of getting kavod? Is that something that's permissible? It would seem over here, we're told that Reuven goes out of his way, and Reuven says, had I known what God was going to say about me, I would have done even more. I would have performed my mitzvah in an even greater and more enhanced fashion. Had Aaron HaKohen known that the Torah was going to write about him wonderful things, he would have done a even greater act than what he did. So this is something that we have to look in the Gemara about. The Gemara says in Maseches Pesachim, the Gemara also has it in Rosh Hashanah, Ha'omer Sela Zu Litzdaka. Somebody gives tzedakah, and he says, I want to give the tzedakah in order that my son should have a refuah shleima, in order that this family member should get better, in order that this tzara that I'm in, I should figure out how to get out of. Says the Gemara, Harei zeh tzadik gamur. You are considered a tremendous tzadik, which I wouldn't have said on my own. I would have said, what do you mean? You're giving it with strings attached? You're only giving the tzedakah because you want this person to get better? Says the Gemara, you're a tzadik gamur. Now, one of the more chassidish svarim says the pshat is, you're a tzadik gamur because we're talking about a person. Obviously, this is really not the pshat in the Gemara. Might be a nice idea, but it's not the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says, if somebody gives a sela that's stuck and he says it's almanashi yichya b'ni, he's a tzadik gamur. Why are you a tzadik gamur? So one of the chassidish svarim explains the reason why is because maybe what we mean is that the ani is embarrassed to accept the tzedakah from you, the poor person. So you say to him, I'm not giving it for you. I'm giving it because I want to have a schus. There's nobody sick in your family. You make up a story and you say, I'm really giving it for myself. And this way you make him feel good when he takes the money. That's not what the Gemara means, because over here all the Rishonim and the Acharonim try to deal with this Gemara and explain what it means. It's a nice pshat, but basically the simple understanding of the Gemara is, when a person gives tzedakah, you have a right to give it with some sort of strings attached. With the strings attached that you want somebody to get better, or that you want to have some sort of refuah, you have some ulterior motive, some incentive that gives you, that drives you to give the tzedakah. So I would have said the same should apply if, let's say, I give tzedakah in order that I should get kavod, in order that my name should be on a building, in order that they should dedicate a classroom in my memory. Also, it should be the same thing. I would have assumed that that should be the same halacha. However, what's interesting is you find in the Gemara not that way. The Gemara has in Ksuvos Daf Samach Vav a very interesting story. There the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the Gadol Hador of his time, and he's traveling on the road one time, and he sees on the side of the road an indigent, he sees a pauper standing there on the side of the road, picking through the excrement of an animal to try to find some barley seeds. And he looks at this woman, and he's asking her, who are you? And he notices that she's the daughter of Nachdiman Ben-Gurion. Now, Nachdiman Ben-Gurion, the Gemara says in Gittin, was one of the wealthiest people of the generation. So he bends over to her, and he says, aren't you the daughter of the wealthiest person in the generation? Why are you picking on the floor through the garbage to try to find yourself a little bit of barley? What's the story here? So she says, well, the truth is, my father really didn't give tzedakah. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean your father didn't give tzedakah? The Gemara says stories how when her father used to walk down the street, he would drop money all along the road and everybody would come behind him and pick up the money. Of course he gave tzedakah. So what does it mean? So she said, no, not even Ben-Gurion, lechvod ahuda asa. He did it for himself. He did it for his own dignity. When he gave out all the money, He used to love it when all the poor people used to run behind him and pick up all the pennies that he left on the street. He loved it, and therefore, says the Gemara, it's considered as if he didn't give tzedakah. So the Marsha asked the question, what do you mean? Doesn't the Gemara say, if I give money with strings attached, I give money only because I have the motive, not for the sake of tzedakah. I give the money because I want that my son should have a refuah shleima, that my family member should be better, that the situation we're in should improve itself. The Gemara says, I raise it tzedakah gemar. Over here you have the story of Nachdim and Megurian, where somehow, because he gives the tzedakah with strings attached, because he had coveted it, his own honor in mind, we assume that all of a sudden he loses the schus of all the tzedakah that he gave. So the Marsha answers, yes, there's a major difference. One is allowed to give tzedakah if you're doing it because you have another motive, because you have a motive that you want someone to get better or you want to get out of a difficult situation. But to do it for your own covet, to do it for your own honor, says the Marsha, that's unacceptable. That's something that you're not allowed to do. And if a person is only doing it for their own covet, then you are going to lose the entire measure of schar that you would have gotten for the mitzvah of tzedakah. In fact, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei Hilchos Tzedakah, we paskin like this as well, and it says, Lo yispar adam tzedakah shenasan. A person shouldn't go around saying, look at what a big tzaddik I am, look how much tzedakah I give, and look what a philanthropist I am in the community and in all the causes, being mispire. And says the Shulchan Aruch, if I go ahead and I do aggrandize myself, and I'm very proud of everything I did, lo dai she'enu mekabel schar, not only do I lose the schar, Ella afilu ma'anishin oso ala. Not only do I lose the schar for the tzedakah that I gave, but also I'm going to be punished for that. Magen Avram also writes in Arachayim, in Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, when he's talking about people who have the practice of putting their name on all sorts of things on a building in a shul, so he quotes there from the Sefer Chassidim, kala osa zecher ledavar, somebody who puts his name on something, lo yi elo zecher. Frightening words from the Magen Avram. Don't worry, we'll finish up and we'll explain why this is not the practice now. Maisa Be'echad, he says, there's a story about somebody, Shehayav Bona Beis HaKnesses Yafe. There was somebody who built a beautiful Beis HaKnesses. Everybody was talking about it. V'ratzu HaKahal Yishtativ Imo B'mos. And everybody wanted to contribute to the shul. But he said, no, I'm the only one who's going to contribute. I want to build it on my own. I wanted to say the Shechter building. And what did it say? Kedei Sheyehei Lo Lizar Lezecha L'Shem. The reason the person wanted his name on it is that everyone should know in future generations that this was dedicated by this and his family, by this wonderful person, V'kala Zaro. Says the Magen Avram, his family was wiped out and they weren't able to appreciate the building that he put up so many generations earlier. So that's a frightening statement. Well, if that's the case, why is it that we don't do that nowadays? Nowadays we put buildings with names on them, we dedicate things all the time, we'll sell every mezuzah, everything. So why is that? Why do we have such a practice? So there's an interesting story that the Rashba has in a tshuva. The Rashba was sent the following shaila, that there was a person in a certain community, I don't know where it was, in which he lived right next door to the shul. And he called up the shul officers one day and he told them that he wanted to extend his home and he wanted to extend the property and he would make a redo of the entire shul in order that, first of all, the shul would grow, but he wanted that his property should be extended also. So if the shul would allow him to extend the property, he would, as a payment, he would rebuild the whole shul and build a beautiful building. So this was a whole discussion in the community. Everyone was fighting back and forth. They didn't want to let him do it. Finally, they came to the agreement. They're going to let him do it. But then the problem was that he wanted to have his name on it. He wanted to have his name on it. And now a whole second round of fighting broke out. Not only is the person trying to encroach on the shul property, but now he wants to build the building and have his name on it. What a chutzpah. Can he have such a thing? So they sent the shaila to the Rashba. The Rashba answered and he said, I don't see any reason why there's something wrong with that. He says, the Medrash writes over here, had Reuven known that the Torah was going to say about him, Reuven would have done a lot more. And had Boaz known that the Torah was going to write wonderful things about him, he would have encouraged himself to do more. And for that matter, the Medrash says also, had Aaron HaKohen, the great Aaron HaKohen, had he known that the Torah was going to write such wonderful praise about him, he also would have gone out and done the mitzvah in a more enhanced fashion. So says the Rashba, well, the person over here as well would not have given the building if not for the fact that we're going to give him recognition. Of course, people don't just do things on their own. They do things, that's the human condition, that we need to be encouraged sometimes by praise in order to encourage ourselves to do it. As long as we see our name on the building, that will get us to give the money. So that's what the Rashba argues. And in the end, he says, Mikan, you see from that medrash by Reuven, Atalamed, you see, Shahayu Nagin Lichtov Kain B'Shemas HaMakdishim. You see that this was the practice. They used to put people's names on the dedications of buildings. Lios Lahem Lezikarn Tov Al Mitzvahs V'Leftach Delos La'osei Mitzvahs. This was not only that they should have a nice memory in the shul, but also that it should open other people's hearts to do the same. Now, the Ramah in the end in Hilchos Tzedakah does quote this, and he says, bottom line, the halacha is nowadays that if a person gives tzedakah our practices that we do recognize what they did. Why? Because it's going to encourage other people. Lahavdil elef alfei havdalos, 1,000 times over. But if you look in the Palestinian community, so what happens? They name soccer tournaments after terrorists who blew up this many people. And they'll name street corners after this person. And they take the opportunity to encourage their youth and show that these are our heroes. And this is the person who we're going to highlight. So Lahavdil, in the other direction, it works the same way. If we're going to talk about people, look, this is the person who dedicated the building. This is the one who gave so much tzedakah. This is the person, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to highlight it for our children. Obviously, it's something that they're going to want to live up to as well. The same way in the other direction it works. So this is what the Ramah Paskins Lahalacha, that even though we generally would have assumed that it's not right to do things in order to get a certain sort of payback for it, but still we assume if it's for the purpose of other people being encouraged to also be involved in a mitzvah and to also get stuck on their own, that's something that we say would be permissible. Bizman Hazer.